After meeting one of my lovely guests, Daisy Natchbull, on the podcast, she generously added me to a group of female founders. And when I started putting out feelers for sponsors on the podcast, I thought, sod it. What's the worst that can happen for gauging a vibe on the group? Well, everyone was nothing other than charming, and that included today's sponsor, Catherine, aka Dr. Denning. Catherine is a skin specialist and she focuses on offering really bespoke skin rejuvenation packages. She combines peels, skin needling and home skincare advice. All the tricks in the book to make your skin totally glow, which we all know is near to impossible living in London. I know that skin can be something that people really, really struggle with, and especially when the old hormone season kicks in. And I've had friends who have battled with their skin for years and really lost their confidence as a result. Well, I can't think of anything better than a trip to Dr. Denning, who is not only full of buckets of experience, but is a total babe. If you ask me, double whammy. You can find her at Dr. Denning on Instagram. Thank you so much, Catherine, for sponsoring this podcast. Hello, and welcome back to season two of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Flory. A strip back podcast that celebrates everything and anything taboo. This season, I'm joined by a range of amazing guests who open up, delve in at the deep end, and share their own inspiring stories. Each guest's own journey is completely unique, and together, through the power of real lived experiences, they help me teach those all important lessons you didn't actually learn in school. So I know I always say that the whole point of the podcast is that you listen and don't watch, but this is an episode I really wish I had filmed. When the lovely Lydia Graham arrived at my flat looking so effortlessly cool with a coffee in one hand and a warm flaky croissant in the other, I was nothing other than blown away by her beauty. This girl is absolutely gorgeous, both on the inside and out. Lydia became a model age 17 after winning a contest and has recently founded her own brand, Oh Lydia Intimates. Now, as much as we avoid admitting that we live in M&S knickers, I know we all love a pair of cheeky granny pants. Well, Lydia has somehow managed to make this concept fashionable and really rather cool by creating a range of underwear that has the two most crucial factors: very colourful and very large. Today, Lydia joins me to talk about the pressures of her career and her journey as a young entrepreneur. I'm certain you'll be as charmed by Lydia as I was. Enjoy.
So I'd love to start a bit more like getting, well, I know you, but for all the listeners as well, tell us a bit more about Lydia and how you got kind of into modelling, and then we'll go on to you building a brand and all that kind of stuff.
So my name's Lydia Graham. I'm 24. I was originally born in Thailand and I came to England when I was like three. So I'm English, but my heritage is Thai, and I've been modelling for 9 years now.
Wow, so quite a long time.
Yeah, I'm like a veteran.
Yeah. And tell me the story about how you got into modelling again. Such a good story.
So I'm not sure, like, mainly probably girls will probably relate more, but there's a magazine called Sugar, mm-hmm. and it was like the ones you buy in the newsagents where you got like free like lip gloss, which was probably wasn't even lip gloss, it was like glue.
Yeah.
I entered through there, and then could only make it similar to X Factor.
Yeah.
You know, you had to do like a photo shoot, and then everyone had to vote online, and you had to like explain why you were the one to win. And I think I said something like rubbish, like, oh, because I'm Asian, I've had experience modelling, I had no experience, but like,
really?
Just blagging it. And then, yeah, I actually ended up not winning it, but I made like my best friend through it, so she won it. But yeah, and then Models One signed me after, and then, yeah, here I am 9 years later.
And is it something you want to continue doing for a long time?
Or modelling?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, like, during this quarantine, it's not been busy at all.
Mm.
And even getting back into it, like, honestly, like, I see other models working now. And this last week, I've been a bit rubbish because, obviously, I haven't started working yet. So there's obviously periods where I'm thinking, this is my time where I'm leaving now. Like, nobody wants to work with me anymore.
Oh.
And it's not. I think it's me, but it's just maybe I've had my 9 years and it's been a good run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to do it until I decide to leave,
mm-hmm.
rather than being pushed out.
Rather than not finding any
work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm happy to do it. I'm only 24, so I'm happy to do it until, I'd like to say 30.
Yeah.
But that might be pushing it a little bit, but you never know.
Well, you should back yourself. That's
I'm trying to lack self-confidence
right here. I remember when you said that you first started modelling and there was another girl who looked a bit like you and you always thought that she got all the jobs over you.
As to being modelling can make your mind do, like, play tricks on you and stuff, because I say, like, even this morning I had an email from my agent saying I have a job next week, and now my mood has completely changed.
And you feel happier.
Yeah, and it's a good thing, obviously, because I'm happy that I'm working, but I shouldn't be so reliant on this to, like, as gratification?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what my boyfriend always says to me. He's like, Lydia, don't worry. There'll be, like, there could be a month you've not working, but then the next job, you'll feel amazing and you'll do it, and then, you know, things will start happening again. So you have to not live your life waiting to hear about a job or thinking you're rubbish because... you don't have a job.
And I guess we'll go on to talk a bit more about this and how, like, your agency has supported you and kind of, like, preparing yourself for after modelling. But first, will you just tell me a bit more about the brand that you've recently built?
Okay, so Olydia is an intimates and underwear brand that specialises in, like, clothing for girls. And our main feature, or our main, our thing,
Our USP
is, like, camisoles and underwear. So I think when I started it, I was looking for inspiration for, like, old 90s, 70s and 80s underwear catalogues, because that's, like, the, I think for me, the best eras of underwear.
Yeah.
And all the stuff women would wear would be, like, little camisole vests and, like, big pants. And that right now doesn't seem like it's sexy, but for me, that's the sexiest thing. Like, you know, seeing, like, high-waisted knickers and, like, just a vest with, like, you know, nipples showing through it. Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, that's, like, the ultimate sexy.
And comfy as well.
Yeah, and comfortable, yeah. And I think I only wear comfy underwear. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to wear, like, Adrian Fogarty, but something about it.
It's itchy.
It's gorgeous, it's gorgeous, but I just can't, I put it on. Maybe we'd have sex in or something, and then I'll be like, right, off now. I won't wear it, like, in the day.
Yeah.
So I always go, my go-to is, like, M&S, Sainsbury's, Tesco's. Actually, we have really good ranges there as well. And Olydia, obviously.
That's the thing. So you kind of found, like, you've managed to combine the love. Everybody loves M&S. People are going to sit here and go, oh, I don't wear an M&S. Everybody, but actually, you do.
Everybody wears
M&S. At least five pairs of pants from M&S. I've got, like, 20, my only ones. And that's the thing. You've seen that and what people love about that, but then added in a couple more colours, like, changed
exactly.
it up a bit.
You're trying to make it, like, cooler, I guess. Yeah. So, like, the comfort and the feel and the look of, like, M&S, but actually maybe not even the look, but the, like, the essence of it. But making it, like, something that girls want to show on Instagram, girls that want to, you know, wear, they feel sexy in it, they want to show their friends. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can wear it on, I always say it's like period pants, but also your date pants.
I love that. So you can That's wear such it, but
you're always
line.
Ready.
Always ready for anything. And you only started up about a year ago, isn't that right?
Not even long. A year now. I think October was, like, finalising everything, like, getting everything ready to launch. And I think I launched on, like, the 1st of December.
Okay.
So just before Christmas, and that was, like, yeah, so, like, just over 6 months ago.
And had you had the idea for ages?
Two years.
Okay. And it's always something you wanted to do?
No.
Okay.
No. I've had the idea for 2 years, and it was just, like, what am I going to do about it? I kept telling everyone, like, oh, I'm going to do this underwear brand, kept drawing my ideas, kept, like, you know, doing the logos. And I just never did anything.
Yeah, all fart, no poo.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And because, like, realistically, there's not much, like, knowledge out there of how to start businesses. There's always, like, talk about loans and, you know, like, you can do anything, but there's no guidance unless you know somebody, like, doing it already, or somebody that knows someone else. Like, how do you start an underwear brand?
Yeah.
How do you get underwear made? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just you can go to a factory, but the confidence of, like, saying, right, I'm going to go to this factory or go to this person and do it. If you don't have any contacts, it's really hard to start a business.
Yeah.
So I learned that the hard way, because even though I do have good, like, people around me that, like, inspire me and, you know, are in fashion, it's still, like, where do you start? Who do you ask?
That's the thing. And I think there's such a... Everyone has these ideas. And already I spoke to some friends last night and they wanted to start a kind of vegan something brand. And they're like, well, how do we find, like, a producer, a wholesaler?
Yeah.
And it's all those things. Was there someone that really helped you, or did you have some money saved up that you invested into it? Or kind of how did you get going?
I had some money saved up from modelling. So I'm really thankful that I haven't had to have any investors or anything. I've done it all myself.
Amazing.
But I've been very lucky and fortunate that I've had... like the salary I had through modelling.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend Josh, which I was saying now so people know when I say Josh, his friends brother owns Desmond and Dempsey.
Oh, yeah, so that pyjama brand. Pyjama brand, I love that.
So I can't remember the guy's name, but Molly, so she's part of Desmond Dempsey as well.
Okay.
I just met up with her and spoke about, like, you know, kind of just what do I do? So I had a bit of guidance from her, which was really helpful. And other than that, I just Googled everything.
Really?
Literally just Googled, like, the shit out of everything, like, going, like, getting into, like, a rabbit hole of just finding stuff and writing down numbers and calling. And, I mean, I didn't really make much from those phone calls, but just, like, feeling like I was doing something. I was like, okay, this week I'm going to call this company. And then even if I'd call them, I'd be like, okay, thank you very much, bye. And, yeah. like, leave it. But it's just...
It's confidence building as well. It's confidence, yeah. Isn't it? It's like actually just taking a massive risk and just going with it and learning along the way.
Yeah.
Like, is that, do you feel like you kind of just did that? You dived in at the deep end and...
100%. Yeah. As in, like, for 2 years, I was like dabbling with the idea. And then I think my best friend, Sammy, she was literally, what the fuck are you doing? Just fucking do it. Sit down here. And we literally sat down and she did like a little plan for me. And she was, right, you're going to do this all in a month. And I was thinking, no way am I going to be able to do that. The fact that I haven't done anything for 2 years. Yeah. But I did do it.
Yeah.
And even like setting yourself timelines is really good. I know it's like everybody knows like to
yeah,
do
but
that.
Nobody does but
nobody
it.
Nobody does it. Yeah. Mm. And it's good because even though if you don't achieve what you want in that timeline, at least you have it like written out.
Yeah.
And like you're a kind of rough plan of what you're doing.
I think that's the thing. I think we all have these ideas and they run around in our head and like make us feel quite exhausted in some ways. And a pen to paper is really devalued. It can actually like, bring so much value and it can help you really write out your thoughts and just like make it, things really strategic.
Yeah, even better than a computer. Like, yeah. That's why I always carry like a little like notebook or, I mean, my handwriting is very poor, but I kind of, like when I write something in my own handwriting, I remember it. I like pay attention to it rather than seeing like a spreadsheet on Google or something like that. Like I won't ever pay attention to anything written like on a computer.
And I remember we spoke a bit about this, but in terms of like starting up, I remember you said that you had a time where you felt a bit ugh, and that's kind of what gave you the energy to start things up. Is that right?
I mean, probably gave me the energy, but also like that was something pulling me back as well. So
yeah,
I think when I like truly wanted to start, I was going through, I mean, I don't know because it's the first time I experienced it, but I think it was depression. Just a sinking feeling of not being able to wake up in the morning, lack of energy, lack of enthusiasm. However, what was weird is that my life was really good in that moment. You know, I had just found the love of my life. I was like, at home. My family were good. There'd been no deaths around me. Like everything was good. I was earning money. I was like happy, but then it was something that was making me feel really, really bad about myself. So that was for like 6 months, and then doing this made me like think of like, okay, right, Lydia, you have to do this today. Like, you know, you've got this to do with Lydia, and it kind of helped me get up in the morning as such, and like feel that I was doing something for myself.
So important.
Yeah.
And I think as well when, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're in an industry like modelling, and like you were saying, it can be really disheartening when people, you don't get as much work in, and because it's actually completely based on external factors, but it can feel quite intrinsic, and you're kind of like, oh, is this because of me or whatever?
Yeah.
And then having another baby, which you have, and you've born, but you can put all your energy into, and you're like, this is completely disassociated from that, and it is related to you, but it's not. It's like your brand rather than you.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I've really tried to keep it, keep myself away from modelling for my own brand.
Yeah.
Because I would like to be known as like the director, the CEO, the boss lady.
I love that.
I don't want
to be like... say how it is.
but yeah, I just wanted it to be like that. And obviously modelling has helped me make it. Like, you know, the models I have to pick of shooting with, the photographers I know and stuff, and like even how a shoot runs, so everything's helped, but I would like to keep it very separate from my modelling.
Yeah,
I think it's still where I could cope. Do you know what I mean? If I was like modelling it, and if it was like I was like, I don't think a lot of people actually know from the brand that it's me doing it, even though
I didn't know.
No, I think because I never put myself on the Instagram,
or I never
say like, oh, it's me.
Yeah,
but I mean, from my own Instagram, I'll like post about Elijah and stuff. So if you know me already, then you know my brand.
Yeah,
but I wanted to be like a bit of a silent kind of.
Yeah,
and also it's called Elijah. It doesn't need my face on it either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's all about me. So yeah. I was like, it doesn't need to be about me.
I think that's also just nice for you as well, because I think social media can be such a toxic place anyway, and like when you're having, when you yourself as a model, you're the brand, and then Olydia Intimates is a different brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think when you're posting about you yourself as a brand, which you have to do as a model, whether, like, I remember Charlie was saying, Newman, who came on the podcast, was like, I hate social media, but I just have to do it.
Yeah, you have to. And if you don't, like, even you notice, like, your following go down if you don't post. You notice, like, if you post something, like, let's say a picture of you and your friends that aren't models, your following goes down, like there's less interactions, and it's just bullshit, because it's like, it's something you want to post, like why am I losing followers because I posted a picture of, like, my nan?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, she's so
I'm so
sweet.
Offended.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I mean. I think you have to take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah. It's just like, you've got to post, and then you just have some time away from it, and you're like, that post can do whatever it wants.
Yeah.
And like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I think really nice having another platform you can interact in and post and stuff, but it's nothing to do with yourself. It's like, oh, this is like this really cool.
Be more arty.
Yeah, exactly. More edgy. Like, I made these prom pants. Yeah. And you must be so proud of that now.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, I feel there's such a...
You're 24.
I know,
it's so
really
great, Lydia.
It's like, obviously, I'm so grateful that everybody is, you know, like, really rooting for me and stuff, but obviously when people say, like, oh, you should be so proud, and I do feel very proud, but then it's such a weird feeling to feel proud about yourself.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? And be like, I am so proud, like, to say that out loud.
But you should. Yeah. And you've got, and also the other thing is that you're constantly, if say something happens badly with the brand or whatever, that's what you'll remember and you'll pick up on.
Yeah.
And you'll forget all the amazing things, like me telling you that it's amazing, or like how many sales you made last month, or the fact that you survived coronavirus.
Yeah.
Which is amazing considering you'd started 4 months beforehand.
To be honest, I think coronavirus is actually, I mean, not the actual virus in general, but as in like the lockdown has actually helped the brand.
Oh, really?
I think because I haven't been working, so this has been like my full-time job for like last 4 months, and I don't think it would have got to where it is now if I hadn't put all that, like, I mean, it wasn't me putting it on purpose, it was the world saying you can't do anything else, so you have to do this.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have achieved what it's achieved in 6 months.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a really, like, especially in London, like, everybody kind of came together to support, like, the local, like, restaurants or, like, pubs and cafes and stuff. So I think there's quite a big community spirit. And even, like, little brands, like, I think they did quite well. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but, like, even the fact of being, like, handmade in London, people liked that. And maybe during the virus thing, people were a bit scared, even though it sounds ridiculous, to shop, like, from abroad, or, you know, like, I don't know, maybe it was the fear of that as well, which sounds really strange, but, like, it's like a psychological thing. So people wanted to, like, go to their local butchers and get their food. They didn't want to go to the big Sainsbury's. They didn't want to, like, you know, go to the Starbucks and stuff. They went to their little bakeries. Yeah. So, like, I think the same thing kind of happened with clothes as well. People... And also maybe the fact that people, I know a lot of people lost their jobs and, you know, it's shit financially, but a lot of people were furloughed and had a bit more spending money because they weren't going to the pubs and weren't, you know, going out every weekend and stuff. So people, I think, maybe invested in their wardrobes and comfort wear.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. During lockdown, you were actually in the prime element. I bet pyjama sales really went up as well.
Exactly,
my slippers. I wouldn't be surprised. So I wanted to know just a bit more about, I mean, your agency, Models One. Mm-hmm. I know that they're amazing. But in terms of, like, now you've been able to have the confidence to build this brand as well. And I wondered if the agency have encouraged you and supported you and helped you sort of with, like, life after modelling and that kind of thing.
Yeah, obviously you have to have a good agency to back you. Mm. And I think a lot of models that don't have good agencies are the ones that struggle. And that's not their fault, but, you know, like, it's almost like you're having, like, a good family support system, like, even the fact that they can be strict, you know, not let you have too much fun. Like, it's a good thing, you know, like, to rein you in. And also, they're the ones looking after your, like, how much you get paid, your, like, accommodation, where you stay on a job. You know, is it a nice hotel? Is it in a dodgy area?
Mm.
So it's, like, your safety. Mm. So you need to have people that are, like, not even, like, look after you, but are good people.
Yeah.
Like, themselves.
They care, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know, they're good human beings. They're not going to want a girl, you know, staying in, like, a dodgy hotel in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, on a job or something.
Yeah.
And I think they've always, like, said, whether it's been, like, pushing you to do it or just kind of the odd comment, like, try and think about what you're doing after. Because a lot, like, everyone who talks about modelling, or you say you're a model, they always say, well, what's your plan after? Because everybody, even if you're not in the industry, knows it's a short career.
Yeah.
Which can be a bit insulting sometimes, because it's like you do marketing. Yeah. I would never say, so what are you going to do after?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just modelling. It's almost you assume like, oh, you're only going to have like a year of doing this.
Like got a lifespan on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it can be a bit offensive, but then also I understand because it is the normality. Like you do have a couple of years doing this and then you have to do something else.
I mean, it sounds like they've been really supportive and prepared you.
Yeah.
But I think that there's maybe other circumstances where people can end these like lifespan careers. And hopefully that will change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I really hope that society is going to start having models who are aged 30, 40, 50, yeah. 60, 70. And I see it a bit more now.
Or even starting later.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of models start, well, I start when I was 15, 16.
Yeah, you know, it's so young.
Now
that.
I see models starting at like 21 and I'm like, that is really like healthy and good. And like, I'm so happy to see that.
Yeah, and I think as well at that, did you ever have a point of like, I think when for me, like my appearance, and I was so unsure of myself when I was like 16 to 20 or whatever, 21. And I think if I were to ever do something like that, now I would feel much stronger in that position.
If you started now?
I think
now.
When as humans get older, you tend to learn like in your 20s, early 20s, you know a bit more about yourself and you get a bit resilient. And did you ever feel a bit like confused or lost? And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think because I was still kind of half at school, so I still had the juvenile side of me where I was just at school and modelling was just like a part-time job.
Yeah.
So I never really like went abroad that much or anything. But I think as soon as I left college when I was 18, so I didn't actually finish my last year, I thought, fuck it, I'm ready to live my London life now.
Bye.
I know, I remember I text my mum, dad a group message saying today's the last day of college.
Oh, shit.
And they, you know, they both text back saying, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so chilled.
But I just had to do it in that moment. Cause I was thinking, I'm going to leave college, but when do you leave? Like, end of the week?
Yeah.
Next term? So I was like, today. I had left that day.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. And you just thought, I'm done with this.
I was like, I'm done. I mean, I've been feeling it for like a year. Like, should I be here? Like, my heart is in London, is in modelling. And I just like, you know what? Gotta just do it today. And I felt so bad because I was sitting in a lesson and the teacher was like, you know, not criticizing me but talking about my work, and I just sat there looking at him being like, this doesn't mean shit because I'm leaving, like,
really?
After this lesson I'm gone. So I was just entertaining him like, I'll work on that, and then I literally just left.
Oh my God.
Like, went to my next lesson.
Do you regret that at all?
No, not at all.
Oh, best like, decision you've ever made.
Best decision I ever made.
Did like, you just know?
I just knew. I love education. I loved education. Mm. Like, I was quite a goody two-shoes at school. Like, I never missed homework deadlines. I always tried my hardest.
Yeah.
Like, I was never an A student, but maybe like B.
Yeah.
Solid B student.
Solid B, yeah. I was the same.
Yeah. Never got the A's, but like high B's and stuff. But no, I mean, it just wasn't for me. Do you know what I mean? I think I could see a life out of it. And I think if I went the whole route of uni, I would have been doing it for like society or like, you know, the normality of it rather than actually what I wanted to do.
It's such a, like, I feel so strongly about this because I felt really pressured to go to university. And although I don't regret it, I learned a lot about myself and I made some amazing friends. In my first year and second year, I fucking hated it. I was like, this is rubbish. There's nothing to do. Like, everyone's just being shoved together and told to make a million friends. I really hated it.
Everybody thinks it's going to be like Skins.
The best years of your life.
Like an American university, like, you know, all these like sororities and stuff, but really, I mean, maybe it's England being a bit bleak or something. But it's like you're in a bit shit flat, like, you know, you're doing work, like you're eating like noodles for dinner. And I mean,
I had a baked potato every day I swear to God. And like, the
it's not a healthy lifestyle, uni. And like, I mean, obviously, like, I kind of missed the fact that I never went to uni in the sense of I would have kind of maybe enjoyed it, not enough to like regret.
Yeah.
Like, actually wanting to do it or anything.
And I think you're such a prime example of someone. It's really nice to have you on and to say this because you had the confidence. You knew it wasn't right. And I think people get scared to kind of stand up for themselves and make that decision. But actually, there's so much more to life than university. Like, why, if you want to go and be a chef, why would you go to university and study anthropology? Go and work in a kitchen and, like, learn the hands-on work. I think that lived experience is really devalued and you can learn so much much more from just getting involved rather than listening.
That's what I say, I've got street smarts. I mean, like, not actual street... Actually, no, street smarts as well.
Yeah, exactly. You're, like, streetwise.
Yeah, and it's, I think.
No, you definitely are. And it's such a different type of learning. And education is, you know, I mean, especially, like, with... I mean, most people, they listen to stuff and it goes in one ear and out the other. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Whereas, like, when you're physically doing something,
yeah,
you're programmed to learn things really quickly, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's so much more to it. I just wondered as well now, do you kind of feel like, I know you said that it's hard to feel proud, but do you kind of feel like you've got slight imposter syndrome? Like, for someone, because I look at you and I'm like, God, that girl's got her shit together. Her brand is amazing. I want to start up a brand too. And how do you feel on the flip side? Do you kind of still feel like you're faking it? Or do you feel like, yeah, I've got my stuff together?
A bit of both. I mean, I still feel like a child.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I'm an old woman as well.
Okay.
So it's more like, as I said, like, I feel obviously a bit like shy and embarrassed when like people talk about... the good things that I've done, or like, you know, like where I am in my life. And I'm very proud of like how I've lived my life and, you know, what I've done to get here. Maybe not like, I mean, I think I've had a very privileged life. So in the sense where nothing's like, nothing I can think about has happened to make my life bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my parents have been like always there for me. I met the love of my life when I was 18. So I think, I mean,
Josh.
So sounds great. I didn't have to like go through like, those kind of years of like dating and stuff, so everything's kind of, it's been, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes I do feel a bit like, oh, this is not real, or like, you know, there's still so much more to do. And
do you feel like you have a pressure on yourself to just constantly be doing stuff now?
Yeah.
Especially since starting the brand.
100%. Like, you can't take your foot off the gas now. Like,
yeah.
Because after I released the second lot of colours, Josh was like, oh, chill out for a bit now. And next thing, I wanted really shorts.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about all these other ideas and stuff. And
yeah.
So I've got to let myself relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Just
to protect yourself as well.
Yeah, just to be, and also just to kind of, like you said, like, acknowledge what I've done.
Yeah, pause.
And just enjoy it. And, you know, just like ride it out a little bit. You don't always have to think about what I'm going to do next. And I was saying, even when obviously work wasn't that great, yes, I had Olydia to do, but I was thinking, maybe I'd get a job in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, chill out. Like, you know, you don't always have to be doing something all the time.
I think that's our generation. We always feel like we have to be busy. And whether it is, like, as you said, earning money, getting a job in a coffee shop, or seeing friends, or everything. And there's so many different parts to life.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, sometimes being busy is just sitting down and chilling. That is a thing. You know, you're allowed to do that. And I think it's so important to recognise everything that's happened so far.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you miss moments.
Yeah. And then also the fact you see everybody else being busy. And, like, the imposter syndrome comes because you want to make yourself look like you're busy as well, whether, like, it's on social media or whether it's, like, you know, talking to your friends or in your mind. Like, a busy day for me would be doing, like, 2 loads of washing, cleaning the house, like, going to the post office. I was like, oh, wow, I'm swamped today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then that's my busy. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what it seems to anyone else. That's
exactly.
My version of being busy. And I'm always trying to maybe relay that onto, like, social media. And, like, if any, like, new models will ask, oh, like, you look so busy, I always try and be very honest and be like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because people lie so much about how much stuff they have going on. And sometimes they're not lies, but sometimes it is. And it's because of that. Like, and it makes other people feel bad.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like we're our own worst enemies in society. And it's like the false picture that we're trying to paint of ourselves actually can have such a negative effect on others. And it comes back to everything, like with people posting, I don't know how much exercise they do or what they eat. And it's just all a pile of bullshit,
exactly,
really, isn't
it? Yeah. And even if it's not bullshit, it's like, you know, it is. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if they mean it in the best way,
exactly,
it is still bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't need to see what smoothie you ate for lunch or whatever. But also, thank you, because I do like the picture.
Yeah.
It does look very beautiful.
Exactly. I think it's a balance, and like, just keep telling yourself as a person and just take it with a pinch of salt.
Exactly.
It is what it is. Who knows what happened behind the scene? Love the pretty picture.
Exactly. And
And yeah, I just wondered if there's any advice you'd offer to someone who wanted to kind of build a brand or anything.
I would say definitely save a lot of money.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
It's really practical.
You don't have to like save like £30,000 at all, but even just have like maybe like even 2-3 grand just kind of saved and just ready for anything, because this is if you want to start a business like quickly and do it, like, you know, do it now, because I can't imagine, like, even like the small things, like the packaging of Olygia, that, you know, but getting the websites cost like £200 or something like that. Yeah. You know, you need a little bit of startup thing, and just to kind of get you going, because once you're kind of got going, you do feel better and like you feel motivated, and things will fall into place if your heart's in it. So just have a little bit of money stability, and also just talk to people and like tell people about your failures and stuff, because I mean, when I first started, I had this woman make my first set of underwear and make a bit, like, a batch of it, and it was rubbish. Like, the quality was awful, like, I couldn't sell it, and I'd spent maybe like £1,000 on this. And I felt defeated, and I was thinking, like, this is a sign, you know, you tried and then it failed, so don't bother. So I had to take a month off doing it and then restart it again, and that's why it kind of kicked up quickly, because I'd had everything, all the foundation set out, so I could just quickly just jump back on it again and, you know, just keep going and stuff. So I think just invest in yourself as well.
That's really good advice, because I think often it's like this airy-fairy nonsense, and actually that's really great advice. Just have some money, lay those foundations, and if you get it wrong, don't give up. Like,
exactly.
That just, it just shows you what not to do the next time.
Yeah,
you know?
Not what to do at all. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really bad moment when that happened.
Yeah, I can imagine. But that's the thing, I think you can, I believe in fate and stuff, but you were like, oh, not for me, not meant to be doing this, and actually, fuck that. Just fake bullshit. Sometimes you just got to get on with it and go again.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that's the best decision you've ever made.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the woman that makes my stuff now, she lives in West Finchley. Her name's Marta.
Oh.
She's the most amazing woman. Like, and she's so talented what she does.
Yeah.
And I found her randomly. Do you know what I mean? Like, for a friend of a friend who studied at CSM.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I remember when I first met her, I was very cautious, thinking, oh, is it going to be another
like
cowboy
one.
Kind of person, you know, trying to thing, but she's literally like, she's been the core of Olygia, and I wouldn't be able to do this without her.
Oh, she sounds great.
No, she is the best.
I want to meet her.
She's the best.
And I was wondering if there's any amazing advice that someone's offered you at all in kind of,
I always say this, but it's my dad just saying, be your own boss. And it doesn't necessarily mean as in you have to have a business, but just be your own boss of, like, your life.
Yeah,
like, you choose
control.
What you want to do. Like, if you don't want to go to the pub this weekend with your friends, feel free to say no. If you do want to, like, you know, order that thing for dinner, order it, do you know what I mean? It's any aspect of life, it's, like, just do you.
Yeah, I completely agree, and let everyone else slot in around you. That's
exactly, or let them do their things as well, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think he meant it business-wise, like, as in, like, have your own business.
Yeah, but still, I think be a bit more unapologetic. As females, we always say sorry, and actually, why?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got to protect yourself and look after yourself. It's so important.
And I mean, I really suffer that, as in the sense of, like, always being sorry, always being quiet. Like, I don't want confrontation, and just learning to, like, confrontation doesn't mean you have to, like, fight anyone, but just, you know, to stand up for what you want,
yeah,
or, you know, what you're doing in any aspect.
It's practice, I think, and I'm the same. I'm so bad at it. And actually, you realise that once you say no once, it's the best thing ever, and you protect yourself and you have more time or whatever it might be. I think it's just practice. And I was wondering if you have any advice to your younger self, like age 15.
I would say just be confident, just in like every decision you make and stuff. Like, don't let what everyone else is doing around you influence it. But then I think I was pretty confident back then, but even more so, do you know what I mean? Don't spend like days crying over boys. Don't spend days, you know, like thinking, oh, I haven't been invited to this party. I mean, this is like teenagers stuff.
No, but still,
just in those things, like, you know, that boy doesn't fancy you, don't worry about it, babe.
Someone else will
yeah.
So true. That's really good advice, and it's true, we spend so long worrying. We always focus on things we're not invited to, and the boys that don't fancy us, X, Y, and Z. And actually,
yeah, I have no boobs. Like, that's what I focused on when I was 15, and now I love that I have no boobs.
Yeah,
like,
great. Well, it makes your underwear look gorgeous. And I was wondering if there's anything, I mean, a kind of either like a defining moment that's happened in your life, or like a biggest failure that you've come back from. I guess that must have been when your clothes got made wrong the first time.
That was probably like the biggest failure, I'd say.
Yeah.
But then, a defining moment, because like it Onage is what it is now, and it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have like had that. And it's I always believe like something bad has to happen for something good to happen.
Yeah.
So that was my bad thing. I touch wood.
You're done now.
So hopefully I'm done. I mean, there'll probably be so many more, but in that essence of like, I hope that was the best.
And actually,
thing.
Like one door closes, another one opens. Yeah. It's so worth it. And finally, I was wondering if there's anything in your life you're still trying to practice or get better at in yourself, whether it's saying no more, or I don't know if there's anything you're working on.
I would definitely say saying no more. I mean, for example, so I have a drop and go account at the post office to post my orders.
Okay.
And with the drop and go account, you can just leave your post there. So you just skip the line and you leave it there. And that has been giving me really, really, I don't know, but I'd say anxiety, because I dread going to the post office. I smoke about 10 cigarettes before I go to the post office because I'm nervous because of the confrontation. Because obviously they're so British, don't skip lines.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oi, what's she doing? Like, and people will call me out for it.
Yeah.
And for me, like Josh always says, Lydia, like, you have a right to do that. You're like, that's the whole point of business go, a drop and go account, is because you're paying for it.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't let anybody tell you that, you know, what you're doing is wrong when it actually is right. So I think sticking up for myself as well. And even like the other day, I got catcalled in the street for the first time in a while.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, like, obviously, I just didn't do anything. I wasn't too uncomfortable, but it more pissed me off. And I was just thinking, God, I would love to just turn around being like,
bugger off.
Yeah, bugger off or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So just being confident and being like, you know, stern with myself, like, come on, or like, don't let it get you down. Like, don't be nervous about going post office, Lydia. Like, it's all fine.
That's the thing. I think, like, if you just got to work and I'm exactly the same. It's like, have your morals, have your values, paint them out, look at them,
mm-hmm.
and be like, this is what I believe. I have a right to do these things. This is what I feel.
Yeah.
And actually, like, anyone else that reacts to that, that's their problem. It's not yours.
Yeah.
Like, people can shout at you for skipping a queue, but actually, you know perfectly well that you're allowed to skip that bloody queue.
I know, even saying that now, I'm like, oh my God, people shouting at me.
No, next time you go, you strut down to that queue aisle.
Do you know what I do? I just don't even look at them anymore. Really? I was like, no eye contact.
With your hat on.
Yeah, exactly. And I sometimes, like, cross the street so I don't have to walk past the line. But I mean, it's the little things. I'm getting braver.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, it's good practice. Do the small things first.
I force myself to do it now. Like, before I'd say, Josh, please come with me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'll see you in a minute, babe.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be back.
Dressed up to the nines. Oh, Lydia, that was so great. Thank you.
Thank you for having
and
me.
I'm just going to finish on the quick questions
okay,
at the end.
Quick fire.
So, is there a book that you would recommend?
The last book I read, I mean, this is very typical, but it was the Sally Rooney Normal People. And to be honest, it's just a nice read.
Mm.
You know, like, I love how she writes.
And what's your favourite condiment?
Bajan pepper sauce.
Oh my God, that is so random.
It's so good.
Wait, I've never had that.
Have you not? Do you enjoy spice?
As in, I love spice. I love condiments. I have 200.
It's the best. It's, so I went to Barbados for the first time last year. And basically, it's really spicy, but really sweet sauce as well. So it's not like sweet chili. This is like a real heat from like a Scotch bonnet peppers.
Oh my God.
And it's the most amazing thing. You can literally have it on anything.
Where do you get it from?
I mean, we bought some back from Barbados.
Did you?
But now I've run out.
I might have to come over.
Yeah, but trust me, it's so good. But I think you can get it from like most international food aisles, like, you know, in Sainsbury's and stuff. But I think there's so many different versions of it. I have to find the right one here.
And I was wondering, what's your favourite London restaurant? You live east, so I'm sure there are lots around
Although,
there.
Although, my favourite is actually in Soho.
Oh, really?
Pierre Victoire.
Oh, I haven't been. Is it French?
It's French restaurant, and it's by like the Tesco's by Tottenham Court Road. But I mean, I booked it like last year for Josh's birthday, and I wasn't thinking much of it. I just thought, let's go to any French restaurant, and that was the only one that had bookings available. Because obviously it was Saturday night, and I had booked. But it's even the like for me, the food's really good. But for me, it's more about the atmosphere. Like, it feels like you're in Paris. They have a guy, old guy playing the piano every night. The waiters and waitresses, they're so polite. Yeah, and the brevet steak is really, really nice.
Oh, so it sounds like a good date night
place. It's perfect. But also for your friends, like, you know, go with like a group of six people and like share bottles of wine. Like, it's perfect every situation.
Okay, amazing. I'm going to go.
Really
That's
nice.
Really nice recommendation.
And it's not too expensive.
Okay, we like that. And I was wondering, if you could have dinner with three people, alive or dead, who would they be?
Amy Amy Winehouse.
Cool.
Just because I'm intrigued to see like who she really was. Yeah. I guess, or like how she would act in person. Also Kanye West right now, just because I want to see like what really is going on in his head.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just very intrigued by him. I don't really agree with like what he does or says or whatever, but it's more just, I'll just sit and listen. Like, yeah. Just tell me about yourself. And then Barack Obama. Just Ooh. Because I was watching Anthony Bourdain's... Anthony Bourdain would yes. be a really good one as
really
well.
Really good.
But he was having dinner with, like, Barack Obama, I think in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he just...
Is that documentary that you're watching?
Yeah. Yes. And he was on... And I was thinking... God, he just like he was president of the United States, but he just seems like a laugh.
Yeah.
A nice guy.
I think like, he seems like the nicest guy yeah. ever. I think that's a really good combination.
And it'd
combination.
Be so iconic.
Yeah, it would.
At dinner, Barack Obama.
Imagine a selfie with those three.
Exactly.
It'd be so good. And finally, where has been your favourite travel destination? I guess you've been to lots of places because of modelling.
I'd always say Thailand.
Yeah.
It's home. I mean, it's England's home, but Thailand's like a
Are
home.
Are your parents like, still in Thailand?
In England. But okay. So my mum's Thai and my dad's English.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, like even yesterday I had a Thai massage. And like even hearing the music... Like something, there's something about Thailand that makes you fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really miss it.
I love a pad Thai.
Yeah, exactly.
With tamarind sauce. So good.
All day.
Yeah. Do you find a good pad Thai in London?
I haven't actually found a good one.
Really? No. Okay, that's good to know.
But even in Thailand, it's hard to find a good one anyway. So
really?
It's not something just that Thai people just do well. Like there's so many different varieties of it. Yeah. Or like people have their own version. So I haven't actually found one where I'm like, wow.
This is amazing.
So I'm still on the hunt.
Okay. Well, if anyone has any ideas, let us know. Oh, Lydia, thank you so much. That was brilliant. And hopefully you'll come again soon.
Yes, please.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Inside Out series with me, Susie Flory. If you enjoy the podcast, I would be so grateful if you could please rate, review and subscribe. Apparently, it makes it easier for people to find us. Have a good day. Bye.